Jeff, did you turn on the recorder?
It is on.
Okay, this is the Muncie Children's Museum. This is a unique project in some ways because it is the shortest time span, I think, of everything we've looked at. It's focused essentially on a hands-on workshop involving music, metalsmithing, and kid participation on a free Saturday in February of 2019 from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. The Muncie Children's Museum is well established here, has a good record of through their free Saturday programs of community outreach. This project involves a steel band, Island Breeze, that is from Indianapolis, and an artist by the name of Jan McCune, who has a solid reputation in metalworking and jewelry. It's called Beat, Create, and Stamp. I mean, it is going to be a day, if you don't like noise, a good day to avoid the Muncie Children's Museum. I like the application. My grandchildren have enjoyed the facility. It is an institution that has grown in credibility over the past 10 to 20 years. I mean, it was, when the Children's Museum started, there were doubters that it couldn't be sustained, and it has done a good job. If you were to fault it, it would be the narrow time frame of the project, that it is not a month-long thing or a week-long thing. That's essentially what I have.
All right, thank you, Jack. Joe?
I generally agree. Obviously, they're kind of your primary criticism sort of folds into one thing that I see as positive, which is that I think it is really nice to see an outreach project, not really even an outreach project, but an interactive project that includes visual arts. You know, as a visual artist, I think that's something that is integrated less frequently, just because there are additional logistical problems that, you know, physical materials are involved, certain different kinds of space are required than, you know, something that's just viewed. So I would, you know, I'd commend them for, you know, standing up and working to meet those challenges. I think that's really great. I do think that there could be an opportunity to, yeah, perhaps extend it over a slightly longer period of time, sort of slightly larger number of people. It was a little difficult in the, well, not that hard, but in the application to determine exactly how many children would be participating in the stamping project as opposed to viewing the concert. I think they gave 200 total. It seems like metal supplies are being purchased for a maximum of 150 projects to be made. So a maximum of 150 children being served. And yeah, just if it ends up being popular, it might be interesting to just become something that, yes, has a slightly larger outreach, especially because there's not a ton of interactive visual arts programming available.
Right. It's also, because it's Indiana in February, it's dependent upon what happens that Saturday.
Yeah.
All right. Further comments?
Two things. I really like the sound of this project. I wish that they could have gone maybe a little more in depth with their purpose. They want to introduce various art forms to young visitors and their families, but why? Like, what? I would have liked to see more of what they wanted to accomplish by doing that. And also, when they talked about their community, they talked about the community of the Children's Museum and the programs that they have going on. I might have liked to see a little more of, you know, like the Muncie community, like the actual community, not just the community of what was already going on at the Children's Museum. But I think this sounds like a really cool project.
All right. Further comments? Seeing that there are none, please update your scores. Are you ready to move on? Okay. Next applicant is the National Center for Great Lakes Native American Culture. Do we have any conflicts of interest? Seeing that we have none, our first speaker is Sherry.
I'm going to try to get my PFD in order here this time. This organization, first of all, this application I thought was really well done, and it's very comprehensive. They've done this program for 18 years, and I think it shows in the detail to scheduling, the detail to outreach, the detail to selection of the Native American artists that will be involved. And excuse me, I think they've used their 18 years to learn what works and what doesn't in a community and who to bring in and why. They seem to have a great outreach in terms of outside of Jay County. Well, I did want to say, too, I was very impressed. This is an organization that just isn't located in Jay County. They are immersed in Jay County, and they go to great extents to tell us what organizations they belong to and key into, excuse me, which I thought was great. I was impressed with the outreach of the money that they're requesting will go to honorariums for the actual Native American artists, and the honorariums are for the classroom education, the 1 and 2 day classes. They don't charge to go into the schools and do their programs. They don't charge to go to the Idle Dorg or the different festivals they go to. And I think all of that is good because it shows a breadth of experience in what they're going to do with this program. One thing I wanted to mention, and I mean there's a lot to mention here, the quality of the classes, the promotional materials and things that they provided was heavy on verbiage, but I thought that was important in a way because it explains how intense they are about explaining culture, the culture that they're coming from. And their emphasis was on understanding intergenerationally, which I thought was great. 12-year-olds next to grandfathers learning the same skill, which is probably how it was when it was first learned. I'm getting lost in my own thing here. Inclusivity. I like organizations that work with the community and not for, or at least both of those things. And when they mentioned I think they call them the trustees of the Jay County trustees, working with them and getting to know them and hoping to have an impact from learning from each other so that when these individuals are out of incarceration, they can maybe plug into the community. I thought that was a great way to utilize arts in the community. I was very, very impressed with that. The one thing I would like to know, their classes are not inexpensive, and I'd like to know exactly how we can go about making them a little more accessible to people that can't afford it. Jay County is not a wealthy county in Indiana, so I would like to know a little more about that. That may be all I have here.
Okay. Chris?
I'll start by seconding the final comment there, in that there's a lot of talk about being open to all, but could use more thought and intention in actively seeking out the underserved demographics, as well as considering having some registrations available at no cost to those who can't afford even that modest $20 to $70 cost of, I'm sure it's an incredible value, but still there's people who just see $20 and think, oh, there's all kinds of other things that we need $20 for. So I'd like to see a little bit more kind of reach out there. And then also, I think this was one where I really think they could improve on their promotional materials. Like you said, it's a very verbiage-strong flyer that they submitted. I'd like to see something colorful, something engaging. And I think one thing that they could really do is, I guess they do have some class sample pictures on their third page. I think those should really be front and center to show what, that's really what's going to engage the people is what is the tangible takeaway. Excuse me. And then from that, after you engage the audience at that point, then they'll read into the things and see all the intangibles that they get about the cultural experience and that sort of thing. Promotion materials could really be punched up a bit. And then also, kind of hand-in-hand with that, their Facebook presence could use some massaging as well. I think they need a lot more variety in the sort of things they post. It just seems to be kind of a repetition of that same already kind of verb-heavy just pictures of their flyers, which do not translate well to a Facebook feed. You just need lots of big, bold pictures, lots of nice colors. Your Facebook audience is pretty simple-minded. Let me see what else I had, if anything. I think that's everything I had.
All right, thank you. Any other comments?
Yeah, I'm from Jay County, so I'm familiar with this group. They have done, as you noted, a very good job interfacing with organizations like the Chamber of Commerce and the Sheriff's Department and that sort of thing. The Board of Directors, however, doesn't have any local connection. There's not a local director. And when Chris's comments about the Facebook page, my suspicion is that much of that is falling on Gwen Neumeier, who is the most active volunteer and really unpaid staff. She does a great deal.
Jack, to make sure this check just the stuff inside the in the application.
Right.
Thank you.
It does say that it's an all-volunteer organization now, I meant to bring that up. That did concern me a little bit because of how extensive their activities are.
In the context of the application, I would say that is why things like the Facebook presence and the print materials being done by volunteers.
Right.
There's a lot of graphic designers who will do volunteer work. Done my fair share.
Further comments?
I really like the multicultural and intergenerational piece that they threw in there. Like when you're that age and your grandma or your grandpa, they want to go do something with you, how cool is it that they can be sitting in the same room together doing the same thing and benefiting from it? I really, really liked that. And I, again, will bring up the marketing materials. I understand that people want to know the details, but maybe having a really vibrant flyer to get everybody really, really interested, and then having those detailed documents available too, that might complement each other really well and maybe attract some more people into their programming. And again, just, they really strive to include a variety of people, but I didn't really see much in there about the financial piece of it. I might have liked to see a little bit more of that, but otherwise, I really enjoyed this one.
All right. Everybody take this time now to please update and finalize your scores. Ready to move on? Okay. Next up is Richmond Art Museum as fiscal agent for the Meltdown. Do we have any conflicts of interest? Seeing that we have none, our first reader is Elizabeth.
Okay. This has been going on for 5 years, and their purpose is to expose individuals of all ages to an art form that is easily understood. And they bring in ice sculpture artists from all over for this. The Meltdown is what it's called. They are very engaging in what they do. They really try to get everybody involved in creating, and you're encouraged to appreciate and recreate art. Something that's really cool about what they do with their community in this is the time frame that this is going on. They'll have restaurants that will have specials reflecting the Meltdown. They'll have, like, there's a pub crawl. The Tourism Bureau does a whole bunch of stuff. So it's really cool to see that the whole community kind of rallies around this and makes it something that they're all involved in. Something else that I liked about it is that there's no cost. It's just something to come and make memories with your family. They reach out to the public schools, homeschools, and the nursing homes. They have like a coloring contest that they do. I really liked that they were trying to include everybody, not just people maybe that could attend the event. And I think the part that stuck out the most to me was encouraging kids to realize that they could follow an atypical profession. They didn't have to do something that maybe they've seen or heard of, and that if they wanted to do it bad enough, that they could go for it and they could really make a living of it, and that that was okay. I think that was a big part that stuck out to me. They do lots and lots of surveys. They're very thorough in that. They have surveys available everywhere. They survey the artists, they survey the audience, they survey the merchants and the sponsors. And also, there was something really big that I was going to say. Oh, their planning process is incredible. They start in June, and they start meeting every other week leading up to the event. So they're very intense and very rigorous in that. And I think it shows based on the audience that they have, everything that they're offering and how successful it is, and that their entire community is involved. It's not just what they're doing for their community, but they're coming together to do it. I really, really like that about this application.
Okay. Jack?
I don't have much to add. You really, really covered it. I particularly liked the connection with the business community. That was a positive, and the surveying and measuring effectiveness. Strangely enough, I've tried to go to this event 2 times in the 5 years, and it has been too warm, thanks to Indiana weather being unpredictable. But it's a clever event, and it does really engage families and young people.
Okay, further comments?
I love the idea that it's an out-of-the-box art form. Yep. I mean, it's not normal. It's not what we typically think of. I love the idea of funding something like that to give encouragement to people that do out-of-the-box sorts of art. And I think it also brings people in the community into art that otherwise they may not come to a chamber concert, or they're not, you know what I mean? I feel like it can engage a whole new segment of people.
Any other comments?
As far as their planning goes, it's obviously, it seems to be a pretty successful event, and they know how to do it. I would still appreciate a little more detail in the planning timeline. They have an amazingly detailed day-by-day readout of the few days of the event, but earlier on they just kind of gloss over all the planning by saying, we'll meet every other week starting in June, and then every week starting in November to complete all the necessary tasks. And so that just kind of asks me, well, what are the necessary tasks? How do you set the priorities? What has to be done by a certain time? I would just like to know that they've got all of that stuff set out, and maybe they, if their planning is a little more well considered than what I'm reading right here, maybe they could space out the planning a little bit. Also, the So they talked about the impacts they want to create, and a lot of that seems to focus on being a downtown development project. And the piece of data that I wanted to see out of that was to ask the business owners, you know, how much is there an increase in sales that you see? What is that increase? Like, how much actual benefit does this create for the area that you're really trying to impact? And so maybe that's, I'll say that seems like it's a little outside the scope of what the what we're supposed to be evaluating as, you know, the artistic quality and the impact on the people who visit. But still, I think it seems to be a big focus on downtown development as well, so I'd like to see a little more data on that as well. Otherwise, very well-produced materials, good social media presence, and very engaged following. So I was impressed with that.
Okay. Anybody else?
Can I have one more thing? Here we go, as the first speaker, is that okay? Yes. I really liked that right after their event, their finance committee sends out a thank you note to their sponsors, and when they did that, they brought in $10,000 last year, and that was right after their event had finished. I think that is a huge accomplishment and really good on their part, and just shows the excitement that their community and their sponsors has for the event, even for the next year. So I thought that was a really strong point.
Okay. At this time, please update your scores. Okay, is everybody ready?
No.
Okay. Okay, we'll move on to Richmond Community Schools Civic Hall. Do we have any conflicts of interest? Seeing that we have none, Chris, you're on deck.
Okay. Okay, so the first thing, I think the context in which the submitted promotional materials were or will be used would be beneficial to judging their impact, because on their own, I think they could be a little stronger with a more engaging design. Other than that, their social media is very frequently utilized and seems to garner a very good response. I would suggest that they try to incorporate a little more variety, though. You know, just visually looking through it, I think, if that's the one that I'm remembering, it was just a lot of pictures of the same stage over and over and over again. So I think that could be a little better. Yeah, there are Twitter and Facebook that they submitted. It's just a little repetitive, so I think could be a little better. As far as community engagement goes, I think the impact the organization wishes to see as a result of their program could be a little better defined. Ticket sales are no doubt integral to evaluating the success of the program, but is there perhaps a goal to increase the average percentage of the seating capacity at events? They talked about, you know, in a couple of places having, I think it was 75% full or auditorium, or something like that. And then also there was a lot of overlapping text in the responses to a couple questions under the community engagement area, and that kind of suggested to me that there could be a slightly clearer vision for each of those answers, because they seem to be kind of cookie cutter fruit too. And then as far as finances go, I thought there was a more complete balance sheet that would give us a better idea of their financial status.
Okay, Sherry?
I had lots of comments, actually. Most of them really good. They
their stated target audience is arts patrons, but they make an effort to engage underserved groups like the life skills class. I'm very interested in underserved groups that don't normally fit the normal categories. I like this one because they have a backstage, the way to get them backstage to see how equipment works. And they had new hearing assistants put in for the audience. I just like that they actually exhibited efforts to reach underserved areas. There is one thing that's kind of my pet peeve that was in this application, and it goes to doing arts for rather than with. Maybe it's just a semantical thing. They made the comment that they need to do these kind of programs or, quote, the number of attendees will start to diminish. We need audience, but that doesn't mean there's a reason to do the art. That shouldn't be the reason to do the art. So I just would have rephrased that had it been me. I think their points were good. I agree with them all, but I would not use that statement because a funder doesn't want to feel like they're giving you money so you can stay in business. They want to give you money because of what you're doing, and they're doing good things. That's all I was going to say.
Okay, further comments?
I found the community engagement part of the application was probably the hardest because there is that
yeah.
When are you growing audience and when are you engaging? But like you, I like the things that we're doing with the adult Girl Scouts and question and answer sessions ahead of time and the life skills thing. So they're trying to get to engagement rather than just audience.
Okay, anybody else? If not, update and finalize your scores, please. Okay, is everybody ready? Okay, we'll move on. Richmond Shakespeare Festival. Do we have any conflicts of interest? Seeing that we have none, Vicki, you're next.
Okay, the Richmond Shakespeare Festival is in its sixth year. It's on a $50,000 budget, which that's a lot of money just for one festival. I think that's great. And so we're just like a drop in the bucket to them, it looks like, that big of a budget. I really like their brand. They have a excellent website. They've got computer graphic art from local artists that they keep up every year, so it's a continuing flow of the brand. They perform at the Stargonet Pavilion and the Whitewater Gorge Park, which is a local resource, but they also advertise that they're close to Indy, Cincinnati, and Dayton so that they can pull in that crowd to the Shakespeare lovers. Patrick Flick is the director. He has a Master's of Fine Arts. He is also the executive director of the Shakespeare Theater Association. And they work with college students and local veteran and amateur actors as well as professional actors. They also, in their casting, they try to be non-traditional. So in their casting, they try to increase employment for ethnic minorities, female seniors, disabled actors, and they also work with Earlham College, Notre Dame, Ball State, Miami, Indiana University East, Richmond Civic Theater, Boys and Girls Club. They work with the Cincinnati Shakespeare Company. Actually, last year they worked with them, and they really reach out to the community. So they're on their website. They've got all these other Shakespeare events that they're giving links to that are related to the Shakespeare. Maybe it's a different group, but they're interacting with all the other Shakespeare groups. So I really thought that was really a nice touch too, and the fact that they reach out to be non-traditional in their casting, which is makes it more interesting, I think, for the plays. That's all.
Okay, Elizabeth.
I really like that they are trying to be fresh and accessible and make Shakespeare relevant in today. Sometimes for the normal person, reading through Shakespeare might just be really overwhelming, but what they're trying to do with that, I think, is a really great idea. I would have liked to see maybe a little bit more on their intent, inquiry, competency, and their process. But their materials are very fun, they're vibrant, they're informative. They were definitely appealing. And again, I really like how much they are involved with their community. The wide array of all of the things that Vicki mentioned. Also, they do have internship programs, and they have a section of it called Eat, Drink, and Be Merry, which is where local restaurants and professors and sometimes the local bookstore will come together to talk about these Shakespeare, like the plays that they're doing during the festival, so that there can be more understanding, they can get ideas, and they can just kind of meet in that low-key, kind of trendy setting. I think that's a huge, I think that's huge for what they're doing. Also, in their changes and impacts, I really liked that they, you know, mentioned the population decline and the poverty and the drugs and people are feeling left behind. But by giving people access to the arts, that kind of works to combat that epidemic, increases the quality of life, and that you can address difficult topics through art. So I really liked all of the components that they mentioned in here, and I think they had a really strong application.
Okay. Any further comments?
I'll just give my stamp of approval as well for their promotional materials. I think they were very strong and engaging. So it was really cool to see that. I think it'd be kind of tangentially off of that, would be good to see their marketing efforts in the activities timeline. I'd like to see how early do they start getting the word out, when do you start drumming up interest. I think the project timeline overall could be a little more detailed, but otherwise pretty good. And then it was also just good to see a wide range of partners, from universities and companies to community organizations. And to me, at least, it indicated a very sincere effort to engage multiple demographics.
Okay. Anybody else?
All right. Dovetailing off of something that was already mentioned, the budget caught my eye, too. And at first, I'm like, wow, that's a lot of money. And then I thought, I really think it's probably quality theater. You know, the more I read through the application, I'm like, usually we're struck in the arts with doing things on a shoestring budget. And it almost seemed like they were like, this is what it takes to do this right, and I liked that.
More comments? All right, time to update and finalize your scores. There we go. Everybody ready? Next applicant is Richmond Symphony Orchestra as fiscal agent for City Life. Do we have any conflicts of interest? Seeing that we have none, Sherry, you're next.
So this is a very interesting event, actually, for me, because of the history. They present the history of the event, and my background is municipal government, so it really caught my eye that the person who started this event was someone who saw a need in the community and wanted to keep people in Richmond and had something to do and be inclusive, and he is now the mayor of Richmond. And so I immediately perked up an interest in reading his application. And it shows through the event that the history and the Parks Department, everybody's on board with this. It's very collaborative from that sense. It seems like everybody wants this to work, and I like that. It's a 5-year program now, and they talk about how they have made adjustments going through and learned over the years, and now feel like they have something that really is working almost seamlessly, I think, the way they present it. The artistic quality seems high when you see the list of partners and the organizations involved. I liked that they didn't start their own Facebook page. They just used the one on the Parks Department rather than having, now maybe I'm not, you know, the marketing gurus you guys are, but it may not be a good thing. I thought that was cool because it's kind of user-friendly. Glenn Miller Park is the place in Richmond, so there might be people who just go there who wouldn't necessarily go for this event, so I thought that might be a good thing. Community engagement, I gave it a lot of positive scores.
accessibility inclusion seems paramount to this project, mostly because of the location that they selected. It's free admission and participation is available to handicap parking and chairs and that sort of thing. I like that it's free. I really like that they made an effort to say that they are going to educate people who come about the free offerings of the participating arts organizations that are at this event. So in other words, they're going to let them know about free children's activities and events at the symphony. They have vouchers that they will give out, free vouchers for tickets for certain events. Following up on this one, at those participating arts organizations. So it has kind of a broadening impact, not just for this event, but for all the organizations that are part of this event. I thought that was really great. Project management, let's see if I have any comments. Management seems capable, timeline is detailed and precise. I noticed this in the budget. The event committee is paid to attend meetings. Which I thought was interesting because there's a perceived investment, I think, and a resulting dedication when that happens. They're not paid a lot, but they're paid to show up, and I kind of like that. I wondered if maybe they tried it in prior years unpaid, and maybe that's one of the things they learned. I don't know. It would be interesting to know. I think that's all I had.
Okay. Chris?
Again, lots of positive things to say about this one. I think they've got some very strong, well-designed, and produced support materials from the poster that they shared to the numerous videos, whether they were or a few interviews, as well as kind of on the ground. This is what's happening. This is how it works. Very good way of kind of displaying what the project actually is in past years. I think they've got a very well-considered promotional strategy that encompasses several channels. It's also good to see that the entire event that it's part of is being used as a further advertising opportunity for all the different organizations to distribute information about their own upcoming events, programs, seasons, whatever, and hopefully then reaching an audience that they might not otherwise. So someone who comes for one thing, but kind of wanders over, might become interested, so it seems like a really good kind of collaborative event that should help, to use the corporate buzzword, create a lot of good synergy between all these organizations. And then, again, for project management, I didn't find anything that gave me any pause at all about anything. I think everything was very well put together.
All right, thank you. Any other further comments? Nobody? All right, update and vote, please.
I was going to suggest we figure out how to clone their mayor.
Yes. Yeah. If all politicians could be that interested in that, right?
All right, are we ready for the final one? All right, the final application is for the attic window. Do we have any conflicts of interest? Seems we have none. Joe's next.
All right, so I thought this sounded like a really interesting proposal, and that clearly the applicant is designing the event, specifically attempting to address what they see as a major problem, that when so little of the population of an area is non-white, the children have a few experiences to go by aside from what they're hearing secondhand, and obviously this isn't to say someone who grows up in a racially homogenous community will necessarily be unaccepting of others, but it's nice to see that this is specifically targeted to the audience is being served to, and that the three primary figures in charge seem to have a connection to the source material and the similar material, and I feel that they'll do a good job presenting it. I also think it's really great what's being done in collaboration with the local schools. If anything, I almost feel like that could have been made more of a deal of in the application, that in the budget I saw the in-kind donations of ebooks from HarperCollins, so that this is going to smooth the introduction to the schools. I think that's really interesting, as well as the book club at the Elwood Library, and that yeah, there could be even more opportunities maybe for additional collaboration, you know, getting public libraries or school libraries to put the book out on, you know, the shelf near the front of the checkout desk, maybe encouraging other people in the community to read it. Primarily because I think that, you know, the goal, from what it sounds like in the application, is that, you know, the play is the capstone, but it's about the opening of this conversation, and the more people read and learn about the book, the more people can join in the conversation, regardless of whether or not they themselves see the stage adaptation. I think it's interesting that, you know, someone could go see the play, go home, talk to a friend who maybe didn't get to see it, but everyone's reading this book and it's kind of in the zeitgeist. And so I also like the art contest too as a way of you know, including students, making them feel like at the center of the conversation. Just a few you know, comments beyond that. In terms of opening the conversation, I thought that the inclusion of a reduced admission rate for students was really nice. You know, some of the community events make use of limited runs of free passes. And I obviously, you know, you need to bring in money if you want something to be able to be done again. But I bring it up because of the purpose is to open a conversation. I think the best possible audience might be those who would not otherwise imagine themselves attending an event like this, and that removing, at least for a certain percentage of the audience, removing a financial barrier might help get those people into seats. Also, another small concern, at least in the application, I don't know if, you know, how much this is going to spread out into the actual conversations you know, around the play, but one thing I saw in the application is that it largely speaks about racial discrimination and violence in the past tense. That's always, Anderson had a history of prejudice, that this was the case, and I mean, this in no way is a slight against Anderson, but I think it's reasonable to say that, you know, 1979 really wasn't that long ago, and I think that one of the powerful things about the text and bringing this, you know, back into schools is, you know, how relevant it still can be that these problems, these conversations are still part of what's going on. And I just thought it might be nice if the conversation with the children, if the tone didn't, you know, dominate that this is the way it was and things are better now, that it's still, you know, it's still something around us, it's still something we have to remain vigilant against. And before I pass off, I will also just say really quickly that I'm a little curious about the budget. I have to admit this isn't my specialty, so maybe I'm missing something. But the attendance statement calls for 18 cast members and 5 crew members, but only the actor paying Tom Robinson has a budgeted stipend. And I didn't see anywhere that explicitly mentions that the rest of the cast and crew will be volunteers, so I was just a little curious about that. That wasn't listed as in kind. But yeah, I may have overlooked something there. So I will turn it over.
I read that to be that these were the equivalent of a civic theater volunteer cast members, that they were local folks. And I like that from an engagement standpoint, yeah, that they're participating in this project. I thought this was one of the most exciting projects we've reviewed. It really, Elwood's got a history, Madison County's got a history, East Central Indiana has a history. You don't have to go very far up the road to Marion to find a lynching site. Joe's covered, I think they just covered all the bases in terms of it, working with the library, working with schools, taking it beyond the stage and the audience into a discussion of an issue that that community is changing as metropolitan Indianapolis grows north. And this is a conversation that Elwood needs to have. I just thought that it was timely, and as I said, I was excited by it.
Hey, other comments?
I said I was excited by it too. I wish that they hadn't, and they did say, especially for students, that's their main target. I almost wish that wasn't the case. The person that they listed as the example, whose story I thought was a great one, Phil Smith, is an adult. And I thought, and I wrote in here, the attendance at the performances could be positively affected by some good groundwork ahead of time, such as giving his story, you know, in the newspaper or putting it out there, because it's not
the ongoing problem is not just with the kids, it's with the people, the older people too. And I would have liked to see that addressed. I mean, maybe they can't do everything, and so they chose kids. But I wish there was a way specifically to get his story out there.
They may have hinted at that in their list of who's involved. They list two newspaper reporters as being part of the project. So I'm guessing they're pitching stories to raise that in the old paper.
Well, beyond. They don't have to be limited to
that. Hey, anybody else?
I had some similar thoughts as well about really hoping that they are able to hit the older demographic. But specifically, I'd be very interested to read about any plans or expected results to reach the demographic that may not already be predisposed to attend the play and participate in the talkbacks. And so I think the talkbacks are really going to be kind of had, as you were saying, it made a lot of sense to me about the way back idea. But I think the talkbacks are a really good way to make sure that conversation happens here and now. And I think it was, I don't know if it was explicitly, but at least I just inferred that meant that they're really going to try and draw those relations to what it's like now, and even only as far back as the 70s that Elwood was a recognized sunset town. So I just want to know what steps can be taken to go beyond just preaching to the choir. How many new participants who've never attended another of the productions would they hope to bring in? I think it's really important for a conversation like this to be able to happen and have a good effect. You need to somehow bring in people who don't already have the viewpoint that you're trying to inculcate. Separate topic. Looking at the website first, I didn't see any photos that really instilled a sense of confidence in high level of production values. But then after looking through the Facebook page, it's obvious that there's a lot of really good set design, costumes, everything. Good photography, everything on the Facebook page is really well done. And so I would just really try and find the best examples of the stage productions to put on the website rather than what looked like was a basement production almost. So just focus on that.
When talking about the impact, I really like that they give a survey before and after. They didn't say what was on it, but I would certainly assume that they're kind of gauging what they thought about before and how being at the production impacted them or changed their mind or helped them to see something new. I really liked that they had a before and after survey.
Okay, anybody else? All right, update and finalize your scores. That's it.
This concludes our news panel. Your scores are considered them entered for the IAC. We will take it from here. Please stay for lunch if you can. We do need a few minutes to get things ready. You can take restroom breaks or come together for things.
That was a great topic, guys. This is a wonderful panel.
It's really fun to listen to, so thank you.
Make sure I get your volunteer timesheets and your conflicts of interest.